Welcome to the Rage Podcast. We hope that you find this week's message encouraging. If you have your Bible, please turn to Ephesians chapter 4, verses 25 through 32. And in your travels, also find Psalms 133. Psalm 133, Ephesians 4, verses 25 through 32. So those of you taking notes, write that down. Ephesians 4, 25 through 32, and Psalms 133, verse 1. And it says this, Ephesians 4, "Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to your neighbor, for we are all members of one body. In your anger, don't sin. Don't let the sun go down while you're still angry. And do not give the devil a foothold. Anyone who's been stealing must steal no longer, but must work, doing something useful with their own hands, and that they may have something to share with those who are in need. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what's helpful for building up others according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, not the youth group, but the action, and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as Christ God forgave you." Man, good stuff. Pretty quiet already. Words preaching itself. Psalm 133:1 says, "How good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity." So the cool part about this is Ephesians 4 outlines all these different things and all these different character attributes of living in unity. But then Psalms tells us, man, when that happens, when we're unified, it's an amazing thing. It's an amazing thing. Let's pray. Jesus, we thank you for your presence here tonight already. God, we thank you for that awesome time of just worshiping you. And Lord, we ask that as we dive into your word, that our hearts will have that posture of worship. Help us, Lord, to understand what it is you want us to get out of your word tonight. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Louder than that. Come on, amen. There we go. Wake you guys up. You guys ever been in a place where the atmosphere of one where you just don't feel welcomed? Yes. You guys understand that feeling? You understand that? I want you to think, just as I'm talking, what made you feel that way? What made you feel like you weren't welcomed? What made you feel like you didn't want to come back? Maybe you didn't feel accepted, didn't feel part of the group. Maybe somebody was rude to you, something somebody said. A million different reasons why you wouldn't feel that way. But it's normal for some of those things. Somebody was rude. Somebody smelled funny. You're like, man, not good. When I don't feel welcomed in a place, I don't go back. I'm not going to go back. Why am I going to go somewhere I'm not wanted? I think that's a normal human reaction. But on the flip side of that, when you feel welcomed, you're like, yeah, buddy. How many of you guys been to Chick-fil-A? Oh, yeah. Yes, they have good food. But on top of that, what do they do when you walk in? They're nice. Welcome to Chick-fil-A. How may I serve you? Wait, you don't want to help me? You want to serve me? What? Change in wording. At the end of the order, you know, thank you for choosing Chick-fil-A. Or you thank him, you say something nice, they're like, it was my pleasure. Like, they're excited, they're welcoming, they're loving you. You feel totally accepted. So today, I was booking a hotel for a trip that I have coming up to Atlanta. That's right, be jealous, going to the ATL. And the lady on the phone, that Southern Hospitality, you know, I call there and she's like, "Thank you for calling Courtyard Marriott, how may I help you?" And I'm like, you know, she just had this cool accent, it's a Southern accent. And, you know, I booked the hotel, I get the rental car all figured out. And then, you know, I'm like, "Thank you for your help." And she's like, "It was my pleasure." That makes you want to, like, stay there again because they're so nice to you. And then you feel bad, especially me, because, like, you know, we're from the north and we talk fast and we probably just sound mean on the phone. But, I mean, she was just, like, so nice. I felt so welcomed. Now, we've all had those experiences where we felt welcomed in places and we felt unwelcomed in places. And on the unwelcome side, sometimes it's our own insecurities. Sometimes it's our own things in our mind, our own mind games that we're fighting. Other times it's the atmosphere in that place is lacking that welcoming feel. it's lacking a sense of community. And when you really think about it, a feel of community is critical to feeling welcomed, because in a community, you're welcoming, you're open and accepted. All people are part of that. Community in its truest form is simply doing life together. It's doing life together. So as we continue in this series called Foundations, we've been in this for a little bit. Tonight we're going to talk a little bit about community, why it's important for a follower of Christ's life. But if, you know, this is maybe only your second time at Rage, or you haven't been here in a little bit, I want you to get on iTunes, type in Rage Student Ministries, pick up the podcast, and catch up on this series, because these are things that should be in every Christ follower's life. If you don't have iTunes, you're like, I don't have iTunes. That's okay. You got this cool thing. It's called the internet. www.podomatic.com. Type in Rage Student Ministries on there. You can stream online. So catch up, because you don't want to miss these. What I want you to get out of this is community is foundational to a Christ follower's life for many reasons. But if you're here tonight and you're saying, man, I don't follow Jesus, I'm not a Christ follower, I've never given my life to him, I don't want you to feel like this is weird or awkward. Like, the message portion is that time where us who consider ourselves authentic Christ followers, we want to learn what it means to live this thing out. We want to grow in that. And so we just ask that you hang with us tonight. Pay attention, because you're going to learn something. And if you ever decide to give your life to Jesus, you've already got a foothold on how you should be living. So hang with us here. Why is community foundational? It's foundational for several reasons. But first off, if you're taking notes, write this down, is we are created to live in community. We're created to be in community. So what is community when you look at that? If we're designed to be in this, what is it? Community, and I've mentioned this before, literally means common unity. Common unity. Think about that for a second. Community is common unity. You have things in common and you live together in peace. Look at the disciples. It says they were all together in one place and they got along. Imagine that. Imagine that. Isn't that incredible? All in one place and they get along. Some of you know what I'm talking about. You've been around long enough. You get people in a place, they get cranky. They do. But they're all together in one place, day in, day out, getting along. The disciples did life together. Christ followers do life together. The common unity is important because we're created in God's image. With God, there has always been community. It's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Before the foundations of this earth were even created, there was community within the Trinity of God. We're created in his image. So this looks like more than community in a Christian's life, more than just having a Christian friend or two. And if you have that, man, that's amazing. Hold on tight to those Christian friends and then go get some more. Build one another up. This is more than a Bible study. This is more than showing up to a service. This is doing life together. Why? Because we're part of a kingdom. What comes to mind when you think kingdom? You think of king, or at heaven, think of land, a vast area. What happens within all of that? People living together under the reign of a king. Community. Community. See, guys, being in community is really about being part of the kingdom of God. If you're a Christ follower, this is about something so much larger than you are. See, we need the community because we're part of God's kingdom. And the community is here for us to learn from each other and from those who have gone before us. And I'm not talking about like, oh, he's a high school senior, he's so mature, I'm just going to learn so much from him. No, I'm talking about your elders. I'm talking about those who have got 10, 20, 30 years of experience on you. People who have gone before you. Take their advice. Listen to the mistakes they've made. Listen to the successes they've had. Listen to how they've lived their lives. That's part of community, them imparting wisdom onto you. Community. Common unity. See, guys, this is about investing and encouraging in one another. This is why within the church, within the body of Christ, God has given us pastors. He's given us teachers. He's given us those who have gone before so you can learn from them. And I'm no different. Mandy and I have to learn from people above us. We have to submit to authority above us, and we have to be part of something larger than ourselves. We have to be part of the kingdom. One way you can kind of check this, am I in community? You can ask yourself, is it advancing the kingdom? Does the energy I'm putting into something, does it translate into reaching lost people? Does it translate into reaching the lost? Because if it doesn't, it's wasted energy. It's not advancing the kingdom. It's not working in that common unity for the advancing of the kingdom. It's working for the advancement of your kingdom. So when you think of that, if your Christian circle, if your Bible study, if your whatever club that you're in has zero outreach, then it needs to be revamped because it's not about you. It's about the lost. You are a follower of Jesus so you can make other followers of Jesus. If you're not proclaiming the word, if Jesus isn't king of this kingdom, who is? We live together in common unity because Christ is the king. We all need community because we're created in his image. As a Christian, you're part of a never-ending, everlasting kingdom of God. And it's time that we start being part of it. We need to work together. We need to build community, starting within this youth group. We need to love on each other, be there for each other. You guys have a great opportunity here with Enrage, because here we press really hard doing life together. We press the family feel of doing life together. You have an opportunity, a golden opportunity, to begin to live in some common unity to go forward in this. So we were created to have community because we're created in the image of God. Number two, write this down. You can't do life alone. You can't do it alone. You need each other. See, guys, when I do things on my own, guess what happens? I make stupid choices. I do. I'm going to be honest. I make dumb choices. You know, Mandy and I, we've been working in the basement and in our house. And I've noticed if I need help with something and I think Mandy's busy and I try to do it on my own, it usually doesn't go too well. Especially when you're using air tools. It doesn't go well. So good example of this. I got a new compound bow. Yes, I hunt. And you know, got a new sight on it, and I was all excited yesterday, and I'm like, yeah. And I'm out on the front porch. Usually I shoot off the roof, but I didn't feel like getting the ladder out. So I'm like, whoosh, one on the target. I'm like, yeah. And usually I wear this arm guard because it's like, whoosh. If you don't, it's called string slap. It feels great, which you can see a nice little bruise. So first shot went great, no string slap, and I knew I was playing it. Mandy's always like, man, make sure to wear your arm guard, okay? Make sure to wear your arm guard. Well, I'm out there by myself, right? I'm out there by myself, put a second arrow in. Pew! Mandy looks out from the couch, and I'm like, yeah. I hit the bullets. Oh! Because I realized the string hit my arm. And I walked in, and it was just swollen and purple. And I'm like, oh! And she's like, why aren't you wearing your arm guard? You have one in the basement. And I'm like, I didn't think I needed it. See, guys, when I ask for counsel from people around me, I do much better. That's why we're created to have community, okay? When I do things on my own, I do stupid things. I make bad choices. And we're all one decision away from stupid, okay? Let's just be honest for a minute. Each of you, you can say, you know what, I got an IQ of 145. No, you have an IQ of I'm one decision away from stupid. That's where you're at on the IQ scale. I'm there on the IQ scale too, okay? All of us. That's why we have community, is it's there to help each other along. You can't do life alone. We're here to support one another. So when you think of this thought, we do life together, what this means is that you're there in the good and the bad. And you always have those friends who are like, man, I'll be there no matter what. No matter what, man, and it's always in the good times. I'll be there no matter what. No matter what, man. And then the no matter what comes, and they're nowhere to be found. And you're going, what happened to doing life together? That was more a casual talk about what it would look like to do life together, not actually living this thing out. It's not what we're called to do. We're called to good times and bad, be there for each other. You were created to be in community with other believers because Jesus has created you to be in common unity with one another. You're not here to do it alone. Relationship in Christ satisfies that core need that we talked about last week of acceptance. but it's lived out through unity. It's lived out in the form of a community. What we do here on Wednesdays, it's lived out. That acceptance that we find in Christ is lived out through community. See, guys, we do life together. That's why we can't go at this thing alone. If we do, that's exactly what the enemy wants, because he works in isolation. He wants you to not be effective. He wants you to not have an impact, because if he can separate you from community, from other Christians who will encourage you and cheer you on, it will divide your attention and it will render you ineffective. Don't be that guy. Number three, write this one down. Community holds us accountable. See, guys, we are humans. We are really, really good at sinning and not accepting our own actions. We've all been there, let's be honest. We make poor decisions, and then someone calls us out on it, and we're like, "Oh, it's not my intention. I didn't mean to punch him in the face. It just kind of happened." No, you punched him in the face. That was a poor decision. Community helps us to accept our actions. It helps keep us accountable, and it helps encourage us forward in Christ, not forward in our flesh. See, in the book of Joshua, in chapter 7, you find the account of Achan, a man who, once they went into the promised land, was living in community but decided to do things his way. So we see in Joshua chapter 6 that God commanded the Israelites to keep away from devoted things. And at first that doesn't sound too bad until you break it down. Devoted things here means the things in life that are forbidden for a life of holiness. He said, stay away from the forbidden things that are going to pull you out of my presence. The distractions, the wrong garbage that comes in. So God commands us in Joshua 6. Let's do some math. Joshua 7 is after 6, right? So the command came before the action. So in Joshua 7, we see that Achan had taken some of the forbidden things during the siege and destruction of Jericho. See, God promised that the city would fall because it was in the way of them inhabiting their promised land. It was filled with wickedness. And so God allowed this to happen. The Israelites come in, and God had set up standards for the Israelites. This is why he did this. He said, don't touch the forbidden things. Don't touch the distractions. They're going to pull you away from serving me. And he sets up these standards in life. They're like guardrails on a road. Okay, the guardrails aren't there from stopping you from having a great time. They are there to stop you from careening off of a cliff and into a tree. God is doing this with us. They're there to protect you from harm. They're there to guide you the right direction. So what we find here is that Achan just blows through a guardrail, blows straight through it, and that the whole community suffered because of it. So in Joshua 7:1, it says, but the Israelites, I want you to get that, the Israelites were unfaithful in regard to the devoted or the forbidden things. You're like, the whole nation? Yes. Achan, from the tribe of Judah, took some of them. So the Lord's anger burned against Israel. One man's sin affected the whole community. See, guys, community holds us accountable. The guardrails are there to keep us in place. See, Achan and his family, because his family knew about what he was doing, they were held accountable for their sin, and God's judgment lifted off of Israel. I want you to get this. Your sin doesn't affect just you. It touches everybody around you. And in a community, when we see somebody doing something that's not God-honoring, it's a lapse of seeking a life of holiness. It's our job to act as guardrails and to help guide them. See, I would imagine during the siege, there must have been somebody who's seen him going after the forbidden things. He was like, dude, you can't touch that. And he's like, oh yeah, right, my bad. His own flesh still raised up within that. And when he came home, his family said, what did you do? You're not supposed to bring this stuff here. And he goes, I know, but I just really wanted it. What did they do? Well, go ahead and hide it. They were just as guilty as he was. Community is designed to keep us moving forward, to encourage us in our pursuits. But when one of us falls, we're there to help the other one be picked back up. What I want you to get is Achan. He made some really bad decisions. It was straight disobedience before the Lord. So his consequences were very severe. But the community held him accountable. The community held him accountable. See, guys, we're here tonight to encourage one another forward in our faith, in our pursuit of Jesus, and the standards that he's given us for our lives. There's no judgment in this room. There's no, my sin is worse than yours. It's just simply a bunch of people who have made mistakes. We're all covered under God's blood, under the blood of Jesus. What you will find here, those people who are willing to journey life with you. People who are here to help you with your struggles. Because at Rage, we do life together. We do community. The last reason why community is so important, there's more reasons than this as you pull it apart. We just don't have time for all of them. Is that we all need a family. We all need a family. Let's just be honest. We have broken family structures, every one of us in this room. Some of us are products of divorce. There's sin within our families. There's undesirable things. Some of you, maybe you've never met your parents. Maybe some of you have problems with siblings or cousins or strain within your family. Maybe some of you didn't grow up with grandparents. You see where I'm going with this. It's not the ideal thing, but no matter what issues this imperfect world has pressed upon your family structure, God has given you a perfect family that you can be part of. You're completely accepted into a heavenly family, into that kingdom. When you have a relationship with Jesus, you're part of something bigger. It doesn't matter the failures of your own family. It doesn't matter the things that you've had in there, the things you don't have. What matters is you're part of God's family. It means that you find freedom in that. And I want you to get this, is here at Rage, you find family. You find community because we all belong to Jesus. We do life together here. If everybody bow their head and close their eyes. As we wind down tonight, you know, maybe as I was going through this, and I was talking about the kingdom of God, you're like, man, I've never given my life to Jesus, and I'm in a place where I want to be part of that kingdom. I want to be part of something bigger than myself. I want to be part of a community like that. Or maybe you're here and you've just been trying to do life alone. You've been trying to do life alone, and it's not working out so well. It's because you were created to venture it together. Maybe you just want to be part of a family that just loves and accepts you. Maybe you crave that beyond all else. I want to encourage you tonight, you can have that. But it starts with relationship with Christ. So if that's you tonight, you're just saying, man, I want that acceptance. I want that relationship. I want that family feel. I want to be part of something bigger. If that's you, every head bowed, every eye closed, I'm just going to ask you, slip your hand up. Is there anybody here tonight that would say that? I just want to have a relationship with Jesus. I want to be part of community. I want to know what it's like to be part of a family structure that won't let me down. Is there anybody else? Is there anybody else? There's a couple of you. Thank you. Is anybody else? You guys can look up here. You know, I believe in this place tonight, there's a few of us that we identified with Achan. There's things in our lives that we know God's forbidden, but we pick them up anyways. We reach for the forbidden things. And maybe for you, that looks like a relationship you're in that you know is not God-honoring. Maybe it's those things that you look at on your smartphone or on your tablet, on your computer. Maybe it's the friends you hang out with at school that are just pulling you down. Maybe it's substances or cutting. There's thousands of different things we can have in our lives
that God has said, those are not for my holy people. It doesn't make you a bad person. It means you've got to get right with the Lord. God didn't put those things in the forbidden category to try to make your life miserable. He put them there to protect you. And some of you are playing with things you shouldn't be playing with. So tonight, if you identify with Achan, you know what God's standards are, but you do what you're doing anyways, and you would say, pray for me. I want to make it right with God tonight. Once again, this is a judgment-free place. Judgment-free place, because all of us have things in our heart that aren't right. I'm going to ask you to just bravely, and I know you can do this bravely, get up and come to the side. And I promise you won't be alone. There's going to be rage leaders who are going to come with you. But if you're saying, man, I got things in my life, I just want you to move now. This is your opportunity to say, I want to be part of community. I want to get right with the Lord. Yes, it's scary to stand up. It's a judgment-free, though. No judgment here. So if that's you, step on out. Step to the side. Leaders, if you begin to pray with these brave students who are saying, man, I don't want to be like Achan. I want to be right before the Lord. We'll give it just a few more moments. For the rest of you, you're in a good place. And I'm sure there's some of you that should be over there, but you're just going, your knees are clacking together right now. You're like, I'm scared. I want you to know that I'm serious about this. When I say we do life together, I'm serious about it. So I want us to live this out tonight. What I want everybody to do here is I want you to get into groups of about 5 or 6, and I want you to do life together. I want you to begin to pray for each other's needs, whether good or bad. So you need everybody stand up. Doesn't matter the groups. Just get into groups of 5 or 6 and be honest with your needs. Once again, this is judgment-free. But as you move, as you find a group, just be open. Be like, I'm struggling with this. I have this fear. I have this anxiety. I have this stress. Pray for me. Pray for me. Because we do life together, but we can only do it if we're open and honest with those who God's put in our lives.
Thanks for joining us for our podcast today. If you'd like more info on us, you can find us on the web at www.ragestudentmin.com or follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/ragestudentministries.